Don't let the gentle lilt of Brendan Lawler lull you into thinking that this genial Irish golfer is a soft touch. Far from it. In this conversation, Brendan reveals a razor-sharp sense of humour and a steely determination to succeed. Golf is fun for Brendan, but as our discussion progressed, it became clear that he knows exactly what he needs to do to reach his potential. With an early season tournament win already tucked under his belt, it would be easy to rest on his laurels, but this is not the Brendan way, and instead he explains how a temporary return to pitch and putt golf could set him on the way for a big year. I hope that you enjoy this conversation with Brendan Lawler as much as I did. So, Brendan Lawler, it's fantastic to speak to you. I know you're in a very, very cold island right now. I think you've got snow there. What's it like outside?
Yeah, it's not too nice, Tony. It's very cold. It's very cold at the minute. Not good weather for golf.
Not good. I know that you got back from Troyer recently, and I don't think you've been able to get out very much since then, have you?
No, I get out once since Troyer. Doing a bit of practice on the range, but can't get out on the golf course. It's too wet. Very wet.
You're quite new to playing golf on the Edgar Tour, and you made your first appearance, if I'm not mistaken, at the Algarve Open in Villasol. But you're certainly not new to competition, and you've been very successful in pitch and putt competition. How did you get involved in pitch and putt, Brendan?
When I was young, I played a lot of pitch and putt. I didn't have the strength for the golf. So when I was around 4 or 5, my granddad had a club in my hand, and I was hitting it up and down the garden, and then there was a local putt course beside me, so I said I would join it, and I just practiced and practiced every day and got better and better. So the older I got, the more I started to enjoy it, because I started to also win competitions.
Right. Well, you won a few competitions, didn't you? I know, just to give everybody a bit of an understanding, in Ireland, golf is kind of set up with a national federation that has both Northern and Southern Ireland with different provinces, and these can be thought of as kind of regions. So you won at the provincial level at both the under 16 level, and then I think when you were about 17, you won at the adult level as well.
Yeah, adult grade. That was a good time, because that was in Cork. So I was only one under my first round. I was 7 shots back after the first round. So it was a lot to catch up with, but then I shot 11 under my second round, which I won by 4 shots in the end, so I was delighted.
I'm sure you were.
And then I won my All-Ireland in Mead, so that was one of my best achievements in pitch and putt, the adult All-Ireland.
Right.
Because there was a lot of fantastic pitch and putt players playing in that, and I actually won that with the same scores I won my other two Leinsters, 12 under. For 2 rounds, I won all of my 3 majors with 12 under.
And that was a pretty big win, because you were probably the youngest person ever to win that championship at the time.
I was the youngest. See, they made a rule that year to let under 18s in. So if you were 17 or 16, to let them play.
Yeah.
Because it's a dying game, and they want to get more young people playing. So they said they'd let the young people play. To boost the game more, to have more competition there, which was a good idea.
Yeah. What is your disability? How would you describe it, Brendan?
It's my disability. It's called Ellis-Van Creveld. It's a slight shorter in stature, shorter fingers, shorter limbs.
Right.
It's a very rare condition. Not many people have it. But yeah, I wouldn't really see it as a condition. I'm happy enough with it. It doesn't affect me. So the golf helps me deal with it as well, because when you're beating people that are 6'6" and 5'10", it helps.
Yeah.
When they see me rocking up to the tee, they don't mind. But then when I beat them, they do mind.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do. So when you first realised that you were a little bit different, how did you deal with those feelings?
To be honest, My family was a good factor, because they never treated me any differently.
Right.
So I lived my whole life from the age I was 1 right up to my now 20, pretending that I'm normal. Not pretending, because I am normal.
Yeah.
But life like a normal child. I think that was the key factor. Just be yourself in any situation. Do the same things a normal person does, whether you're 6 foot tall or 4 foot tall. You just do the same things.
Yeah.
Like when I was younger, I played sport. I played Gaelic football, soccer. Okay, they outgrew me at 12 and 13. That's when I had to stop. But then I found golf, so I was happy then. It's good to have another sport to fall back on. I enjoy Gaelic football and soccer, but I enjoy golf more.
That Gaelic football's a brutal sport, isn't it?
Oh, they'd be busting each other, all right.
I know a few guys that have played big Gaelic football, and you know, they're pretty happy if they come out of there without any major injuries.
Yeah, my brother plays a lot of Gaelic football, and it is brutal. You could get a really hard knock, and it could put you out for a while, so that's why it's not good either.
Can you remember what you first wanted to do, really, for a living when you left school?
When I left school, I left school at the age of 18, so I love business. So I work in the family business as a salesman. So I'm a pretty good salesman, so I really enjoy that.
Yeah.
But obviously golf is my main priority at the minute. Since this tour has been, I was playing golf to enjoy it. I always enjoyed my golf, but when I found the EDGA, it just makes me want to play more and win more tournaments and try and climb that ladder a wee bit more.
And what kind of business has your family got?
It's a furniture business. They kit out loads of offices with desks, timbre units, all office furniture.
Yeah.
And also IT, like laptops and printers, all that kind of stuff, stationery.
Okay, yeah. And tell me about the members of your family. Did any of them play golf really before yourself? I think you mentioned that you'd been taken down to the pitch and put by one of your family members.
My granda was big into golf. Didn't necessarily play much golf, but he knew everything about it. And he wanted some of the grandchildren to take it up. But my brother was into the Gaelic, so I was the only one that really took it up. And also my cousin Fintan, he plays off scratch. He's a good guy. But yeah, my grandma, he got really sick when he was around in his 70s. So he played golf right up to then. And then when he got sick, he follows the golf now. So
right.
He loves following. He's actually coming over to watch me in Troy in June.
Oh, great. Very good. Well, hopefully I get to meet him.
Oh, he loves golf. He really does. He'll tell you a lot about it. You'll know it all anyway, but he'll tell you.
Great. Well, I'm sure we'll share a beer and have a chat. That'd be great.
Definitely.
Tell me, are you a member of a golf club?
I'm a member in Dundalk Golf Club, yes. And
right.
I was a member in RD for a long time. And then I joined Dundalk last year. Because it's more convenient. I work in Dundalk, so after work I can just go practice instead of driving a half an hour out to RD. So
yeah.
It's a lot more convenient for me to play in Dundalk.
And what about pitch and putt? Are you still playing any of that at all?
Very, very little bit of pitch and putt, but I think I'm going to go back because my short game used to be very sharp, very, very sharp around the greens. But it's after getting a lot worse, so I might go back to the pitch and putt just to sharpen it up a little bit.
Is that something that your short game really developed with the pitch and putt?
Big time, yeah, big time. My short game used to be phenomenal. Like it's not good anymore. It's average, but it's not where it should be, where I want it to be. So the pitch and putt really helps your short game very much so on your distance control.
Yeah.
So you're hitting 40, 50, 60 yard shots. Like they're key in golf. You need to get up and down from 60 yards.
Yeah.
Like if you're not getting up and down at least two, three times out of five, like I'd be very disappointed if I wasn't. So and I'm not at the minute. Yeah, just play a little. I might even play a few pitch and putt competitions.
Yeah.
There's actually a big one. It's the All-Ireland of pitch and putt. So I might give that a go. Not necessarily to win it, but just have a bit of fun.
Do you see golf as fun? Is that the way you approach it?
I love golf. I find it very fun. But you know yourself, when it's not going your way, it's the worst sport you can play.
Yeah.
I really do enjoy golf. And then when you see your handicap dropping and you're seeing improvements, you start to enjoy it more. You know yourself. Because, and then, like, these EDGA events, when you're competing at that high level in these, and you're doing well and you're winning some, that makes you love it even more because you're seeing the results. You get me?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And what's your handicap right now?
1.7 at the minute.
Right. Well, I mean, certainly you're one of the game's bright young talents, that's for sure. And have you had any coach that's helped you to try and reach your potential?
I never had a coach ever, Tony. From right, I went to the Darren Clark Golf School and I didn't get a lesson for the 4 years prior to this. But as soon as I got there, I got a few lessons, but I wasn't really told much. The coaches were like, your swing is so different, we can't really tell you what to do. But the main thing they told me was just keep your timing. I'm a good ball striker.
Right.
They said, the only thing your problem is, if you get out of sync, you'll hit a bad shot. If you hit it too hard, that's when your bad shot comes. But if you stay on plane and stay nice and tempoed and flowed, he said, you'll be fine. And then,
yeah,
they've done a lot of work on my putting, which was good. I needed a lot of work on that. So they just threw drills at me. So The next step, I think, I'm going to get lessons in the short game because my long game is, I'm happy with my long game at the minute. But I'm definitely going to get lessons in the short game very soon.
Are there any specific shots that are causing you any difficulty at the moment?
Yeah, from 60 yards. Like in Troia, I had a lot of approach shots. Like I usually go for par fives and two, but I was playing conservative in Troia and I was laying up to about 60 yards every time and I didn't get up and down once. I was getting a wee bit frustrated. So I think I'm just going to go to the range or go to a golf course and work on, say, the 40 to 80 yard range for the next tournament.
And tell me about what have you learned about yourself by playing golf?
I learned I play a lot of match play. So I learned that never give up a match play because I was 4 or 5 down after 9 and came back in one event. So anything can happen. But about myself, I'm not too sure, actually. That's a tough question.
Right, well, I'll leave you to think about that one. What about heroes or role models that you've looked up to as you progress through your career so far as a golfer? Anybody that stands out? You've got so many good Irish players there. I assume that maybe one of those might be on that list.
Yeah, I have to give Padraig Harrington a mention. Padraig Harrington, I think he's unbelievable. My dad, I keep saying he's going to win another major. My dad keeps telling me I'm mad. He's not going to win another major. But yeah, Padraig Harrington would be up there. I met Padraig Harrington in Ballantrae when Shane Larry won the Irish Open in 2009. And he was a lovely guy. And Rory McIlroy was there as well, but he was only 18 at the time. So he was following Padraig around the tent, around the media tent. He didn't know what to do. So Padraig sort of had him under his wing. Go through all the media and stuff. He is a lovely guy. He comes across as a lovely guy.
Well, I know Padraig quite well, actually. I've known him for quite a number of years, and he certainly is a lovely guy. And you might be right in that it would be always too soon to write off Padraig. He might go out and win. I mean, he could win any tournament. And I was so pleased to see him a couple of years, well, 18 months ago now, that he won out here in Portugal again, which was nice to see. So, yeah, he's a real good guy. He's a real nice guy, and he's got a lovely wife and kids, and, yeah, he's a good man. So you mentioned earlier that golf is really important to you, but what does it really mean to you? I mean, what would it be like if golf was taken away from you and you couldn't play golf? What would that feel like?
That would be tough. My week sort of, I plan my week around golf. Especially in the summer when the weather's good. There's no better place to be than playing 9 holes on a Wednesday, Thursday evening with a few of the lads. Like, it is good crack. But if you took golf away from me, I just probably have to find another hobby. Because I'm not good at sitting down. So I like moving. So I'd have to find another hobby that I'd have to get good at. Because if I was bad at it, if you get me.
Tell me, are there any goals or objectives that you've got in golf that you'd be prepared to share with me?
Yeah, well, because I've just started in the EDGA, I want to sort of reach a high level at that. So I want to, like, you know, George Groves, like, there's some really good EDGA golfers. So I'm trying to reach number one. I'm sure it's everyone's goal that is at the top. But yeah, I want to get up the ranking system and win a few more events and maybe win some Irish events as well.
Right.
And just keep competing. I just want to keep competing in golf.
Tell me about any adjustments that you might make to golf to make the game more user-friendly. Because you're a young guy, you're playing, and everybody talks at the moment about golf being maybe a little bit slow, maybe a little bit expensive. So people are talking about these things, but what would you do to change golf for the better?
Well, the EDGA is doing a lot for golf. You know yourself, it's giving people with disabilities a chance to compete at a high level, which is fantastic. And it's giving people, like, in all areas, not just, like, there's wheelchair areas, there's amputee areas. Like, that's fantastic for mental health, for people to go out and compete. Like, these adaptions, as you see yourself, the adaptions on the wheelchair buggies, they're amazing.
Absolutely.
They're fantastic. So I encourage the Paralympian golf in every club all around the world, and maybe have different Paralympian coaches. So, and then more and more people are going to play, and then maybe there could be money events then. You could talk about earning money, and then that's obviously going to get more people to play, because the people on tour, they're unbelievable golfers, but what people are doing on the EDGA is a lot more inspiring than the people are doing on telly week in, week out, I think.
Yeah.
Because they're facing a challenge they had, and they're fulfilling themselves, and they're doing what they love to do. So I think that's fantastic.
And you spent a little bit of time around them now, because you've obviously played a couple of events, one at the back end of last year and one at the beginning of this year. And I want to talk to you about the one at the beginning of this year, because you obviously went out and won it.
Yeah.
You know, that was pretty impressive. And that's where the European Individual Championship will take place in June. Yeah, so what do you feel about, number one, what do you feel about the golf course? Because obviously somebody who's won on the golf course should have some good memories of it already.
Oh, the golf course is unbelievable. I think it's fantastic. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. The first day we got lovely conditions and I shot a 74. Yeah, 74. Which, it was a very good score, because it is a tough course. Greens are fast, it's tight. But I'm really looking forward to going over in June, because there's going to be stronger golfers there in June, I think. So I'm curious to see what score wins it, and then compare it to my score, whether I do well or not do well. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, it should be a very good field, and I'm sure that we'll have some first-class golf there during that week. Is there anything about Brendan that might surprise us?
Let me see. Anything about me that surprises? A lot of people are surprised when they see me. But no, I have no secrets. No, I have no secrets. But as I said, I'm not a bad salesman, so that could be a surprise to people.
Right, okay. Well, I have to remember that. I'll keep my hands in my pockets when you're next to me.
Yeah, you better.
I might end up buying something I don't want.
Sell sand to the Arabs.
Tell me, which piece of your golf equipment gives you the most joy, Brendan?
Oh, the driver, 100%. I love my driver. I hit it everywhere. I think I hit 3 wood once and try it, and it's a tight course. I'm more accurate with the driver from 250 yards than I am with a wedge from 80 yards at the minute. I really do love my driver.
I know you mentioned that you'd been to the Darren Clark Golf School and you made the team there, I know. And I know you said that you didn't get much coaching there, maybe on the short game or certainly on the putting, you said that you got some. But of all the things that you learned from playing golf there, because I guess that you played a lot of golf on the team and played with the other guys, are there any takeaways that you think others might be able to learn from?
Yeah, the big thing is never have a score in your head before you go out on the golf course. Because any score can win. That's what I learned most about these events. I've been, say, 6 over after 12 holes, not doing well, in the dumps, frustrated about my game, and then I come in, say, 10, 12 over. And then when I come in, I realise that 8 over would have been a good score. but I just threw four shots when I didn't need to. So if I was encouraging people, just keep the head. Everyone can have a bad day. Like, that's the big thing about the EDGA. You just have to, don't have a number in your head, just play your golf. And if it's going bad, just don't panic, because you never know. That's what, never know.
Yeah. And if you could play a four ball with anybody, so it doesn't matter who they are, dead or alive, and you don't even have to know whether they play golf or not. Just pick three people that you'd like to play with and tell me why.
Oh, I'd love to play with, I'll put Harrington in there because he's Irish. Obviously Tiger Woods, because I think he's the best. He is the best of all time, even though the records don't say it, but I think he is the best of all time. And then I'd have, do you know Kevin Hart, the actor?
It's not a name I'm familiar with, no.
The funny actor. I'd like to play around the golf with him.
Perfect, perfect. And if you could magically be with somebody who's got a similar kind of disability to yourself, what advice would you want to offer them? And that's not necessarily just about golf, that's about life in general.
My advice would be just be yourself. Act normal, because you are normal, you know what I mean? Because there's nothing different about, you might look different, but you still have the same emotions, you're still living your life the same. You're just a wee bit impaired. You can't do things other people can do. I can't reach the top shelf, but other people can't hit the golf ball 250 yards. So it works both ways for me.
Yeah.
So just be yourself.
Yeah. Look, Brendan, it's been great to speak to you. I know I'm going to get to speak to you a lot more, because I'm sure that there's going to be a few winners interviews that I need to do with you over the next few years.
Look,
I'm really looking forward to seeing your progress. I'm really looking forward to seeing you playing in a few months' time now in Trier in the European Individual Championship. I know you're going to be around for a while. So, Brendan, thanks very much for your time. I really appreciate it. And if people wanted to reach you, how could they find you?
You can reach me by email. So my email is brendan.lawler1997@gmail.com, or else I'm on Facebook as well. I'm on all social media. So if anyone would like to have a chat, just give me a call or a text.
Great stuff. Well, again, Brendan, thanks very much for your time. Most appreciated. I'll let you get back to shoveling the snow outside of your house.
We'll build a few snowmen.
Okay. Hey, listen, take care. Speak to you soon.
Thanks very much, Tony.